Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Low patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car. 10-8. Ruben and Jess. Ruben, are you on duty?
I'm 10-8, Jesse. Reporting for duty, sir.
All right. Ruben, you know, as Catholics, right now we're living in a very tough time.
Jesse, your volume is very low again.
My volume is very low. Ruben, go ahead. Let me turn my complex on and off. Go ahead, Ruben.
Yeah.
Jump right in.
All we're saying, Jesse, is that we are living in a difficult time right now. There's so much uncertainty that's going on, and it's causing a lot of pandemonium. People are out there just hoarding stuff at the store. The lines are long. You know, restaurants here in LA, I'm sure it's happening across the country, but maybe not to this extent in every state the same way. But here, Jesse, we have restaurants, bars, anything that does people work, people congregate. You know, even coffee shops are not allowing people to congregate. Their drive-thrus are some of them are open, and it's causing a lot of fear amongst the people here, and it's all across the world. And just we have to just rely on our Lord, you know, like Pope, like Saint Padre Pio says, you know, pray, hope, and don't.
Ruben,
worry.
Let me just check. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, got it. All right, continue, Ruben.
Yeah, so pray, hope, and don't worry. Saint Padre Pio says, you know.
Exactly. And, bingo. You nailed it.
And just
say it again, Ruben. Say it again.
Pray, hope, and don't worry. And, you know, Jesse, the other thing is that you have to monitor who you get your information from. You have to, you know, be able to discern who's whispering in your ear, who's giving you the information, because, you know, if it sounds like the person you're listening to is panicked and they're giving you the sky is falling story, then, you know, they're not leaders. You know, you want to listen to leaders that are going to sound different than the followers. You know, if he sounds like a follower, he's not your leader. So
Ruben, and a lot of voices out there, let's just be honest, they're talking snakes. What do I mean by that? They're masters of deception, just like the devil appeared as a snake, a serpent to Eve. When right. You have somebody who's giving you half-truths and lies and deception, there's a lot of talking snakes out there. Ruben, one Bible verse that we should all hang on to, the promise of God's word, because as the Bible says, let God be true, let every man be a liar. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says this, okay? God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. But with the temptation will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Okay? The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. So notice, the Bible's very clear that God is faithful. God's not going to put more on our plate than we can handle. That's what it says. And I'll quote St. Padre Pio again. Pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayer. Here's something else, Ruben, that everybody should be doing this every day anyhow, but here's just a good reminder. It's called spiritual communion. You've probably watched the Mass at EWTN at home, and then you see during Holy Communion, you see that Mother Angelica, they put on the screen a prayer, and they start making what's called a spiritual communion with Jesus.
Right.
And they'll preface it something like, if you can't go to Holy Mass this morning, say this prayer. That's old school Catholicism.
Yep.
I think this was given to us by St. Alphonsus of Liguori back in the Middle Ages. This is very old. And so we should be doing this every day anyhow, not just right now where the holy sacrifice of the Mass has been temporarily suspended, like in the days of Daniel and in the days of the Maccabean Revolt. And so let me just lead you in a spiritual communion prayer.
Yes.
There's different variations. Get them on the internet. But the point is, you should be doing this prayer every day anyhow, uniting yourself to Jesus Christ spiritually. Ruben, you got in front of you?
No, I don't. Go ahead.
Okay, Jeff. I got it. Okay. Right. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just go ahead and repeat after me. My Jesus, I believe that thou art present in the most blessed sacrament. I love thee above all things, and I desire to possess thee within my soul. Since I am unable now to receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace thee as being already there, and I unite myself wholly and entirely to thee. Amen.
Amen.
And we're also going to pray Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is, ever since the days of the Jews, it's a prayer of physical and spiritual protection. Did you catch that? It's a prayer of physical and spiritual protection. I did a word search. There's 68 times in the Bible where the word plague is mentioned. And many of the plagues in the Bible, it was the hand of God. Why? It was meant to bring people back to their senses, back to repentance, back to a relationship with God. And so, again, if this is God's direct will, the coronavirus, or if it's God's permissive will, it's one or the other, let's pray that prayer of protection every day, Psalm 91. I'll lead you right now in that prayer, unless Reuben has it, but also start the spiritual communion prayer every single day. You got Psalm 91, Reuben?
I do. I don't know if I have the version you have, but I'll go ahead and do it.
Okay, go ahead.
Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard in your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for He acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So those two prayers, every single day, on top of your other prayers, the daily rosary. In fact, right now, let's just be honest. It's Lent, A, and B. We're living in a time right now that's unprecedented. We've never been through something like this before, where the daily mass has been suspended in headquarters in Rome. Mm-hmm. And now in my diocese, L.A., all over the world in many dioceses. And so not only should you bump up your prayer life, but you should include also spiritual communion with Jesus. This comes from St. Alphonsus of Liguori. This is old school stuff, but this is very important to get united with Jesus right when your day starts in the morning. And also add Psalm 91, either in the morning or in the evening. It's a prayer of protection from A, the diabolical, and B, also the physical, pestilences and plagues. And Reuben, you know that in that verse where you read on Psalm 91 where it says, He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge.
Yes.
The church fathers have always interpreted that verse. They say, the under His wings you'll find refuge or protection. They say that's the cross. The cross of Christ is what's referred to in Psalm 91. Under His arms, that's where we find protection. That's why we're called to do spiritual communion. So we put ourselves under the arms of Jesus, under the cross of Christ, as Psalm 91 says. Every time you hear the Psalm 91 and it says that he will cover you with His wings and you will find refuge, that's underneath the arms of Jesus.
Amen, Jesse. Yeah, that's, this Lenten season is going to be one we'll probably never forget, because, you know, we're doing, if not physical suffering, we're doing some spiritual suffering. You know, we're longing for our Lord. We're without Him. They have taken our Lord away, you know. You know, you just, it kind of reminds me of, you know, when they, after Holy Thursday Mass, when they start stripping the altar, you know, and they've taken him away. So he goes to repose. And so now we have to find him. You know, he's everywhere, obviously, but, you know, most churches are closed, so we can't even find him in the Blessed Sacrament to do adoration. And but like Jesse says, you know, do the spiritual communion, stay close to him in his word and in your prayer life and your meditations. You got to find ways to talk to our Lord so that you're not listening to all the pandemonium that's going on out there.
I mean, yeah, again, what I call the talking snake, Ruben, there's a lot of talking snakes out there. You got to watch it. You got to put, and Ruben, let's not forget that there's several ways that Jesus is present to us. Of course, he's most present perfectly in the Holy Eucharist.
Right.
But he's also present to us where two or three are gathered in prayer. Remember that, Matthew 18. If you're in a state of grace, he's also present in your heart, Colossians 1, 27. Mm. And Jesus Christ is also present. Our Lord is also present when you're reading his word. Reading his word makes him present to us. Mm-hmm. And so there's several ways that we can, once again, continue our communion with Jesus through what I would call the church is going through the dark night of the soul right now.
That's right. When we come back, you're going to want to hear these saints that we're going to call on in times of pandemic. Okay, we've got a number of saints that you can pray to. Some of them I've never heard of, but it's good stuff. We'll be right back.
Leviticus 11:44 says, "Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy." St. Vincent Pilate said, "You must be holy in the way God asks you to be holy." God does not ask you to be a Trappist monk or a hermit. He wants you to sanctify the world and your everyday life. May God show us the path to holiness and help us to follow it all the days of our life.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We're back, Jesus 911, and happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone out here. St. Patrick, he is a powerful saint. Jesse, you know, this guy, you know, where legends are built, but this guy was the real deal. You know, he must have raised, I believe, 35 people from the dead. And he converted all of Ireland, you know, and he was from Britain, but he was captured, taken by pirates over to Ireland, where he eventually escaped. And, you know, he heard a voice to the calling to the priesthood and to come back to Ireland and convert the Druids and the whole, you know, drove out the snakes. You were talking about snakes earlier. Don't listen to the snakes. He drove them out.
Watch out for talking snakes.
Yeah. And he didn't want to listen to them. So he drove them out. So it's a big day, all especially in Ireland and over in the British Isles and stuff. So anyway.
Let me mention also something about St. Patrick while you were on the. Yeah. St. Patrick, pray for us.
Yes.
St. Patrick also composed a prayer. It's called the Breastplate Prayer of St. Patrick.
Yes.
It's a prayer of exorcism. Lay people are allowed to pray it. And it's specifically to drive out witches and wizards and sorcerers and the occultists. If you have any in your family, if any neighbors, if you think your next door neighbor is doing hexes and curses on you, that's a prayer that you want to armor up with every morning or every evening. It's called the Breastplate Prayer for St. Patrick. It's to drive out occult spirits. So I just want to throw that in there, Reuben.
Yes. Well, I'll just say I have it right here in front of me. It's Christ be with me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ inquired, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Well, that's the Breastplate
Poem.
Yeah,
that's a portion of it. It's a powerful prayer. Powerful.
Yeah.
Reuben, so what saints can we, in times past, have Catholics went to in types of, in when we went through situations such as this? I know we have one, obviously, St. Jude. He's the patron saint of impossible causes. So anytime we mention a saint on this show, especially today, let's just say St. Jude, patron saint of impossible causes, pray for us. But who else is out there, Reuben, that we can... that we need to put on the employment line.
Okay, we can start with the four holy marshals. Of the four, we're going to be talking about St. Quirinus of Nias, a patron saint for fighting smallpox, and St. Anthony the Great, the saint for combating the plague. The first one, St. Quirinus, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right.
I think it's, Quirinus. Yeah.
Quirinus.
Quirinus, yeah.
Of Nias.
That's a Roman name, yeah.
He was a patron for those affected by the bubonic plague and smallpox. You know, so we think we got a bad here. That bubonic plague was horrible. They had, you know, it affected the lymph nodes and, you know, the body's immune system. It was spread through rats and mosquitoes, and so it was rampant. But Quirinus, he was born in the first century and died in the year 116 AD. Legend has it that he was a Roman tribune and was ordered to execute Alexander, Evencius, and Theodolus. These men had been arrested on orders of the emperor, their crime being Christian. So Quirinus witnessed miracles performed by the three men and was baptized into the faith along with his daughter, Balbina. And then he and Balbina were decapitated for becoming Christian and buried in the catacomb on the Via Appia. And then you move ahead 1,500 years. Documents from Cologne dated 1485 says Quirinus' body was donated in 1050 by Pope Leo IX to his sister, the Abbess of Nias. Well, stop there. You know, some people who maybe are not familiar with the Catholic faith, they might be saying, well, what do you mean his body was borrowed? You know, the relics, you know, these become relics, and many places the churches want a relic of a saint. And so in this case, he gave his sister, who was an abbess, the body. And soon after, Charles the Bold of Burgundy laid siege to Nias with his army spreading from Western Germany, the Netherlands, and as far south as Italy. The citizens of Nias invoked Quirinus for help, and the siege ended. Wellsprings popped up and were dedicated to him. He was then called on to fight against the bubonic plague and smallpox. This saying by farmers is associated with Quirinus' feast day on March 30th, so it's coming up. A similar tradition to Groundhog's Day, it reads, as St. Quirinus' day goes, so will the summer.
St. Quirinus, pray for us.
Pray for us.
St. Anthony the Great, patron of those affected by infectious diseases. He's one of the greatest saints of the early church. Anthony was one of the first monks and is considered the founder and father of organized Christian monasticism. He organized disciples into a community, and these communities eventually spread throughout Egypt. Anthony's known as Anthony the Great, Anthony of Egypt, Anthony of the Desert, and Anthony of Thebes. He's also known as the father of all monks. His feast day is celebrated on January 17th. Saint Anthony the Great is also invoked as patron against infectious diseases. Saint Anthony, pray for us.
Yeah. You know, if you look him up, there's a lot of great quotes attributed to him. And you know, he wasn't the first monk, but he really took it to a new level. And he was out there for years and years out there in the desert. And he lived on very little food. And there's some pretty good quotes that are attributed to him. And he's powerful too, Jesse. And you probably know this in exorcisms too. You know that. I remember using his name and the time when the guy was
assisted.
Well, yeah, and Saint Anthony the Great that caused a lot of trepidation.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because he's one monks. Demons have a special fear of monks, and I'll tell you why that is. Is because, and this is something that we should try to imitate the monks, even if you're a layperson, because monks, they have a very ordered life. And they have prayer at a set time. And demons fear somebody who has intellectual order, and they have order of their soul, order of a prayer life. Demons love disorder. Also, monks live a clean life. You know, for the most part, they're not concerned about the things of the world, about intimacy with their wife and stuff. They live pure lives, and that's another thing. Because they're already realizing how they're going to live in heaven. That's why demons fear them, because they're already imitating the chastity of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Right. He had battles with the demons out there.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Desert. Really, if you read his story, it's pretty profound. And so he was doing battle with them. And so he was victorious, you know, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so they fear him because he beat them once, you know. So...
Again, he beat them again because the two things, he lived an ordered life, ordered and a clean life. That's how you defeat the diabolical. You live a disordered life in your soul and in your intellect, and you live an unclean life in a state of mortal sin. You have no power against the diabolical, none.
And, you know, one of his quotes is, the fruits of the earth are not brought to perfection immediately, but by time, rain, and care. Similarly, the fruits of men ripen through ascetic practice, study, time, perseverance, self-control and patience.
There it is. Self-control, ordered life.
He says, the person who abides in solitude and quiet is delivered from fighting three battles, hearing, speech, and sight. Then there remains one battle to fight, the battle of the heart. So,
amen.
Yeah.
So that's the ultimate. That's the crown jewel, giving your heart to God and staying there. That's why in Matthew 5:8, it says, blessed are the clean of heart or the pure of heart, for they will see God. That's the goal, is to be so united to God, especially when you die. That's called the unitive aspect of Christianity, and that's the golden ring for a Catholic Christian.
And, you know, I was listening to your show yesterday, Jesse, with Eddie, and one of the questions you were answering was, how do I stay virtuous, or, you know, how to stay out of mortal sin? St. Anthony says, one should not say that it is impossible to reach a virtuous life, but one should say that it is not easy, nor do those who have reached it find it easy to maintain. So you're going to be tempted to the day you die. You're going to keep fighting that battle. You have to keep fighting, man. You can't give up.
Amen.
Amen. So the next saint is going to be Edwin the Martyr, also known as Saint Edmund, patron for victims of pandemics. And he was acknowledged as the patron against pandemics. Much is written about this saint from the 9th century, who died in 869. Interestingly, though, hardly anything is known for certain about him, yet there are churches all over England dedicated to him. The Danes murdered him when they conquered his army in 869. Edmund the Martyr, in addition to being the patron saint invoked against pandemics, is also the patron of torture victims and protection from the plague. And his feast day is the 20th of November. He's the patron saint of the Diocese of East Anglia, Suffolk, Dewey Abbey, Toulouse, Kings, pandemics, and torture victims. So, St. Edmund, pray for us.
Amen. And Reuben, there's a couple of other saints that I just want to mention.
Yeah.
A couple of other patrons for those who struggle with familiar illnesses and afflictions. you have St. Damien of Molokai. He's the patron saint of those with leprosy, or also known as Hansen's disease. St. Damien, pray for us. You have St. Diffna, a 15-year-old Irish girl who's patroness of emotional disorders. St. Diffna, pray for us. You have also the 14 holy helpers in times of epidemics, especially the bubonic plague known as the Black Death, which wiped out, I think, like 50 or 60% of Europe. This is who we would seek for their intercession. So 14 holy helpers, pray for us. St. Matthias, the apostle that was added to replace Judas, he's the patron saint of alcoholics and those with smallpox. I'm assuming it's the St. Matthias.
Yes.
St. Matthias, pray for us. And then we also have St. Tryphon. He's the patron to aid us in the fighting off bed bugs, rodents, and locusts. St. Tryphon, pray for us. And what's beautiful about the Catholic faith is that there seems to be a saint for just about everything. They're waiting in heaven right now for you to dial them up, to call them up and say, help! All they want to do is answer your prayer. All they want to do is get down on their knees before the throne of Almighty God, who's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and pray for the rest of us of the church militant down here as we fight the good fight of faith.
Yeah. One of the most famous probably of all those that you mentioned was St. Damien of Molokai. And he asked to go to treat the lepers in that leper colony down there. So he wanted to live amongst his people. You know, he saw when he went down there that they needed leadership. You know, it was a lot of immorality, a lot of drunkenness, and there was a severe alcoholics down there, and just people preying on one another. You know, every kind of immorality, misbehavior, you know, was on display in this lawless colony. So there was no law and order. He took it into his own hands, and he asked people to come together, build houses and schools, and eventually he built a parish and named it after St. Philomena, and the church still stands today. And he died amongst his people, and he was happy to do so. And, you know, just, you know, with this pandemic that's going on now, we need some more St. Damians to go out there in the world. Absolutely. And bring the sacraments to our people. St. Damien, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Okay, we'll be right back. We'll
talk
about some more.
Yeah, we're talking about more saints, Ruben. Yeah, we got more saints we want to share with you that we should have recourse during pandemics. They stand as basically pillars of Christianity in times of plagues and epidemics. We'll be right back.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show. and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, be holy as our Heavenly Father is holy. So, you know, Jess, I want to just comment on the 14 holy helpers because a lot of people don't know who they are. I'll just mention them by
absolutely.
Name. St. Christopher and St. Giles were invoked against the plague itself. St. Denis was prayed to for relief of headaches. Remember, he was the one who had his head lopped off. Mm-hmm. So, relief of headaches. St. Blaise.
He walked with, well, I think a mile or something.
With holding
with his head.
His arm.
Yeah.
St. Blaise.
A lot of people, they said, hey, there must be a God. This guy's walking around with his head underneath his arm with, you know, no head on his shoulders. Yeah.
St. Blaise for ills of the throat. You know, there was somebody who was choking on a bone, I believe. And he cured him. St. Elmo for abdominal maladies. St. Barbara for fever. St. Vitus against epilepsy. This is at the parish up in San Fernando, Jesse. St. Vitus.
Right.
St. Pantaleon was the patron of physicians. St. Cyriacus invoked against temptation on the deathbed. And Saints Christopher, Barbara, and Catherine for protection against a sudden and unprovided for death. St. Giles was prayed for a good confession. St. Eustace as healer of family troubles. Domestic animals were also attacked by the plague. And so Saints George, Elmo, Pantaleon, and Vitus were invoked for their protection. And St. Margaret of Antioch is the patron of a safe childbirth. But when the calendar was revived, Jesse, in 1969, the individual celebrations of St. Barbara, St. Catherine of Alexandria, St. Christopher, and St. Margaret of Antioch were dropped. But in 2004, Pope John Paul II reinstated the 25th of November optional memorial of Catherine of Alexandria because her voice was heard by St. Joan of Arc. So these are all saints that you can pray to. And St. Matthias, by the way, is the same one who was chosen to succeed Judas Iscariot following his betrayal of Jesus. So St. Matthias, pray for us.
Amen.
Okay.
Let me mention how important it is for us to call upon the saints.
Yeah.
And let me give a Bible verse for this. It's in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. Okay? Mm. Let me read it, then I'm going to give you the context so you can know exactly what's happening here. It says this, okay? It's talking about Elisha the prophet. It says, when the servant of the man of God, that's Elisha, rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was round about the city. And the servants said, alas, my master, what shall we do? Elisha said, fear not, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. What happened here? Okay. The Syrian king, who's wicked, he goes out with an army to arrest Elisha. And he surrounds the town of Dothan. That's where Elisha the prophet is living. So Elisha's servants terrified. He sees a Syrian king with his army. And he says, oh, no, they come to arrest you. What are we going to do? Elisha prays to God to open the man's eyes spiritually because the Elisha doesn't fear. Elisha sees something that his servant doesn't see. And in an instant, Elisha's servant sees a vast heavenly army of soldiers, angelic soldiers, in chariots of fire ablaze in the sky. And Elisha, the prophet, asked the Lord to strike down the Syrian army blind, and so he does. And so this ended the attack of the Syrian king upon Israel. And again, this verse indicates what Catholics have always believed. It's called the communion of saints. In other words, that God's chosen ones on earth, that's us, we're surrounded by heaven's army, by saints and angels. And if we only had the face of Elisha, I know we can't see them, but they're there. And this is why even in the New Testament, there's a passage, I think it's in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says that we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. The writer of the Hebrews is hearkening back to this story of Elisha in 2 Kings 6:15. Reuben?
Amen, Jesse. That's a powerful verse there. Yep. Okay, so these saints that we're going to talk about, they know firsthand about surviving pandemics. But even more, they know about how a pandemic can become a way to serve God and neighbor. Finding a saint who worked with victims of plagues and other epidemics can be a struggle because there are too many to count on.
Yep.
But during the 3rd century plague of Cyprian, famous for killing upwards of 5,000 people a day in Rome, Christians were reported running towards sufferers. Now, did you get that? Not running away, Jesse. They're running to them.
Sounds like first responders.
Yeah. Like 9/11 when they were running into the towers. Eager to nurse them, whatever the cost, in Alexandria, where 2/3 of the population was lost to this plague, St. Dionysius wrote of the Christians, quote, heedless of danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in Christ. And with them departed this life serenely happy, for they were infected by others with the disease, drawing on themselves the sickness of their neighbors and cheerfully accepting their pains, end quote. Dang, wow. You know, how many of us do we ask for suffering, or how many of us are willing to get into the mix and at the expense of their own safety, their own peril, their own jeopardy by
very few. Putting
themselves in danger?
Not enough.
Nope. So, you know, the plague of Cyprian, it's a pandemic that affected the Roman Empire from about 249 AD to 262. And the plague was thought to have caused widespread manpower shortages for food production and the Roman army. And it severely weakened the empire during the crisis of the 3rd century. But in modern name, commemorates St. Cyprian, the Bishop of Carthage. So that's an early Christian writer who witnessed and described the plague. The agent of the plague is highly speculative due to sparse sourcing, but suspects include smallpox, pandemic influenza, and viral hemorrhage fever, like the Ebola virus. So that was the plague of Cyprian back in the 3rd century.
Let's jump into some of these saints, Reuben, and talk about what they did. You got Saint Godiberta of Noyon, who lived in 700 AD. He cared for the sick in a less direct way than many others. It was an abbess with great influence over the people who lived near her abbey. Saint Godiberta encouraged them to pray for an end of a plague after they spent 3 days fasting in sackcloth and ashes, and the plague ended quite suddenly. Mm. Saint Godiberta, pray for us.
Yeah, Godiberta was a miracle worker who stopped a plague and a raging fire. So the next one is Saint Roque, or Rocco, sometimes he's called, lived from 1295 to 1327, embarked on a pilgrimage to Rome when he was 20, begging all the way. When he arrived in Italy, he discovered a country ravaged by the plague. Roque set about caring for the sick strangers he came upon, often curing them miraculously until he himself contracted the disease. Knowing nobody, Roque dragged himself to the forest to die, but a local dog brought him food and licked his wounds until Roque recovered. And you know, this was during the 14th century. There was this plague in Italy, and Roque, he was out there helping and got infected. You heard that yourself. He was infected like the rest of them, but God healed him and had other plans for him.
Saint Roque,
pray for us.
Pray for us. We're mentioning these saints because we want to ask for their intercession, because they fought plagues and epidemics, and now guess what? They're wearing halos in heaven as a result. Saint Charles Borromeo, he lived in the 16th century. He was a cardinal when famine and plague struck Milan. Though most nobles fled the city, sounds like many people today in our church, Cardinal Borromeo organized the religious who remained to feed and care for the hungry and sick. They fed over 60,000 people a day, the bill largely footed by the cardinal. He went into personal debt to feed the hungry. He also personally visited those suffering from the plague and bathed their sores. Having first written his will and prepared himself for death, but the good cardinal was spared to live another 6 years after what eventually would be called the plague of St. Charles, St. Charles Borromeo, pray for us.
I love this guy, yeah, Jesse. This guy was a man's man. And you know, he came from a well-to-do family. So that's how he had the money. He inherited a great fortune from his dad. And but he put it to good use, you know. They actually, when his parents died, his family members and his brother had died too. They were insisting that he get laicized so that he could come and take over the family fortune. But he didn't. You know, he was the leading figure of the Counter Reformation. You know, combat against the Protestant Reformation. You know, together with Saint Ignatius of Loyola and Saint Philip Neri. And in that role, he was responsible for significant reforms in the Catholic Church, founding seminaries for the education of priests. He's honored as a saint by the Catholic Church with the feast day on November 4th. You know, his emblem is the Latin word humilitas, where we get the word humility. And we talk about that. We mentioned that humility, you know, the devil hates humility. He, which is a portion of the Borromeo shield, he's usually represented in his robes, barefoot, carrying the cross as archbishop, a rope around his neck, one hand raised in blessing, thus recalling his work during the plague. So he was out there in his lifetime. He was out there fighting the good fight. And
another man's man.
Yeah. Exactly. Baroness styled him as another cardinal back in the day, as a second Ambrose, whose early death, lamented by all good men, afflicted great loss in the church. So St. Charles Borromeo, pray for us. And there's also a mission named after him.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
St. Henry Morse was another one. These are priests that would bring the Eucharist to those who were sick. He was born an English Protestant, became a Jesuit priest, returned to England to serve covertly. Much of his work consisted in serving the victims of the plague, both in 1624 outbreak and again after he'd been banished from England, but secretly returned in 1635. And so he worked from 1635 to 1636. St. Henry Morse contracted the plague three times, but recovered each time. When he was later captured, his work with plague victims was considered, and he was released. The next time he was captured, there was no such clemency, and St. Henry Morse was martyred. St. Henry Morse, pray for us.
All right. We got many, many more. We'll be back with another list of saints that you may or may not have heard of, but you're going to be able to invoke them. We'll be right back. Don't change that dial.
Hi, I'm Maria Vargo, and I'm here with my friend Jonathan Rumi.
We're doing a passion play, and that's basically a play that depicts the last days of Jesus' life on earth, and we'd like to invite you to come see it. Go to www.thelastdayspassionplay.com. There's a video there, a trailer of the show. There's ways you can get tickets to see it live. We're in Koreatown at Emmanuel Presbyterian Church on April 4th, 5th, and Good Friday, April 10th. And we'd love for you to be there and be a part of it, because it will change your experience of Lent like nothing ever before.
We love what we do. We just want to bring Jesus to every heart. And so if you want to deepen your Lenten journey and you want to have a closer encounter with Christ, we just hope that you'll come check us out.
Go to www.thelastdayspassionplay.com.
God bless you.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out His will in all things.
Thank you.
buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, two-man car, we are 10-8. Just want to leave a quote from St. Alphonsus Liguori. He who prays most receives most. So we stay prayer warriors, ladies and gentlemen. Do not panic. We are, Jesus is still in control. Last time I checked, Jesse,
Exactly. Yeah. He can't get impeached. He's not going to resign. He doesn't have to run for office again. He doesn't need your vote. He doesn't need the Electoral College. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The Bible says he's the King of the Ages, period, end of discussion.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm of the belief that, you know, we bring this on ourselves, this plague, because of our disobedience and our unholiness, you know, just the way the country has been going with, you know, the
homosexual marriage, abortion. Transgender bathrooms, medical marijuana.
This goes
pornography.
On
Ruben, I was doing a study last night of plagues in the Bible. All the plagues in the Bible, they're either directed by God to bring people to repentance or they're permitted by God. So
yes,
the same thing's happening right now. This is either by God or permitted by God for the purposes of repenting and coming back to God. I hope America listens and doesn't hit the snooze button.
Mm. Absolutely right, Jesse. And I mean, there's people in our government, there's people in the elites, the globalists that want population control.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they've been pushing for abortion. They've been pushing. I mean, even look where it started in China. China only allowed one kid per family until recently. I think they allow two now.
Two. What generosity, huh? Generosity.
Yeah.
Ruben, I'll tell you, I'm going to go out on a limb on this, but I'll tell you why I think this has also happened as well. It's not only secular evil, which we just named right now.
Oh, yeah.
But also,
especially,
remember that the moral conscience of the world is the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. Okay? The Catholic Church is the pillar and foundation of God's truth. Not the Supreme Court, not the White House. It's the Catholic Church. And let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. This is painful for me to say, but idol worship was allowed, was allowed by the Holy Father in the Vatican. He was right there. Also, a Vatican deal with communist China,
right,
to elect Catholic bishops. Mm. Then you have the Italian bishops publish a prayer to Pachamama. Well, are you kidding?
Oh, my God.
You know, when you start looking at all these things, along with the secular evil, Ruben, that we just talked about.
Their alliance with the United Nations. You know, we had that show the other, you know, a couple of weeks ago. Wow.
And we're wondering why this is happening. I wonder why there's a plague right now. We're such good people. No, we're not. We're a bunch of sinners, starting with the church.
Yep.
And secular society is messed up. I don't want to use another word. It's because the church is messed up right now. Mm-hmm. The church is, you know, the old saying, leading from behind.
Yeah.
To quote Barack Obama, okay? You're not supposed to lead from behind. You're supposed to lead from the front. And this is why, again, we are suffering the consequences of our sin.
Mm. Yeah, Jesse, that's it's bad news. You see it. You see what their alliance with the United Nations and the globalists to reduce the population because of global warming. You know, so
Ruben, again, I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to hold on to that verse every single day. Let me read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. God is faithful, and God will not let you be tempted. Some translations say tried beyond your strength. But with the temptation, God will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Yes. So whatever God is allowing us to experience, don't be a sissy and say, oh, no, I can't. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if that means you stand an hour in line to get yourself some milk and eggs, you can do that and much more.
Yep. And Jeremiah 23:16 says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. So those prelates that are speaking nonsense, you have to be able to drown them out and listen to what the church has always said.
And also another good piece of advice, quit listening to fake news.
Yep.
You know, all they're trying to do is gin this up even worse. Yep. And listen to voices of reason, voices that are going to be push you to faith. Ruben, just I want to mention another thing. I think a lot of this is happening, the hand of God, permissive will, direct will. It's also because Catholic leaders have betrayed the faith. For example, Joe Biden, who's probably going to be the Democrat presidential candidate, he's probably going to beat Bernie Sanders.
Right.
Again, here we got the same thing like in 2004. We got another pro-abortion Catholic nominee. This is scandalous. Imagine how heaven looks at this right now, seeing this guy could be the highest Catholic in office in the most powerful country, but he's another John Kerry.
Yeah,
okay?
he turned his back on the church.
Yeah, John Kerry, Joe Biden, these Catholics in the Democrat Party, they've lost their soul to Planned Parenthood, and they bowed down to the golden calf of Roe versus Wade. This is a tragedy, and I think, Ruben, as a result of that, because also not only failed Catholic leadership for the most part amongst the USCCB, okay? Mm-hmm. There's some luminaries here and there, but almost total failed Catholic leadership amongst the Democrat Catholics that are in high office.
Absolutely.
And Joe Biden years ago, Ruben, he had some sense. I mean, you know, he tried to at least have kind of a moderate position. He would support the Hyde Amendment that, you know, it bars the use of federal funds to pay for abortions. Well, guess what? He's caved into that, Ruben, because of, you know, pressures of Senator Warren, Kamala Harris, who are rabidly pro-abortion. So he's saying, you know what? Basically, he doesn't support the Hyde Amendment any longer. He says, yeah, we need to give poor women money so they can have abortions. Are you kidding me? Again, Ruben, this is just part of the apostasy.
Yeah, you're right, Jesse. That's pathetic. Is this mic on? Just gosh. Anyway, let's move on. St. Henry Morse, 1595 to 1645.
Oh, I already did that one.
Oh, next did
one.
Henry. Okay. Yeah. St. Virginia Centurion Bracelli, 1587 to 1651, was a wealthy widow. When a plague broke out in Genoa, she housed many of the sick in her home. Running out of space, she rented a vacant convent, then built more housing. Though the plague ended, Virginia's hospital continued serving hundreds of sick people, and the religious order Virginia founded in the midst of all this continues to this day.
Yes. Saint Virginia?
Yep.
Pray for us. Blessed Peter Donders lived in the 19th century. He was a Dutch Redemptorist priest who served in Suriname for 45 years. He fought for the rights of enslaved people. He evangelized indigenous people. Notice he didn't, accompany them let them stay in their ignorance. He also nursed the sick during an epidemic to which he briefly succumbed. He spent his last 3 decades serving in a leper colony and advocating with the authorities to obtain better care for his people. Blessed Peter Donders, pray for us. Ruben, a lot of these saints that serve people in the midst of sickness, you know, Charles Borromeo from Hawaii, some of these other saints, they actually took Pope Francis literally when Pope Francis says, hey, go out there, shepherds, go out there and get dirty with your sheep.
Right. Yeah.
Get smelly along with your sheep. We're a field hospital. Go out there and tend to the smelly sheep. Well, guess what, Ruben? This scandalizes me. Our Holy Father and the Roman Curia are hiding behind Vatican walls.
Right.
They're hiding.
What happened to those bridges that he's asked to, you know,
build bridges? Yeah. Go out there and get smelly with your sheep. Shepherds, get out there amongst your sheep. What is going on here?
No backbone.
One thing is said and something else is being practiced when there's a when there's a pandemic.
Yeah. Right. It's, you know, it's
I'm scratching my head, Ruben. This does not make sense.
Jesse, it was a loss of faith. You know, they just don't want to contract. They don't want to contract. Maybe that they realize they're not ready to go to that judgment seat, you know? Okay, St. Jose Brochero.
I guess he had a big mustache. Like our friend.
1840 to 1914 was an Argentinian priest. Immediately after his ordination, Father Jose nursed the sick through a cholera epidemic and emerged unscathed. Then to serve his parishioners, he built 125 miles of roads and connected his parish with mail and telegraph services and a railway line. Eventually, he contracted leprosy and began to go blind, after which he retired both from active ministry and from single-handedly building the infrastructure of the region. He had spent over 40 years serving as a priest, nurse, lobbyist, carpenter, and construction worker. St. Jose Brochero, pray for us.
I thought that was our friend Jose Mejia. St. Marian Cope lived in the 19th century, answered the call of the King of Hawaii to bring her sisters to Hawaii and serve the leper colonies alongside St. Damien of Molokai. Though many feared the disease, then sought to be extremely contagious, St. Marian assured her sisters that not one of them would contract it. Through strict hygiene practices and a good amount of God's grace, the sisters worked with the lepers of Molokai for nearly a century, that's 100 years, without one of them contracting the terrible disease. Wow, wow, wow. St. Marian Cope, pray for us. Ruben, there's another prayer given to us by St. Faustina. It basically is a good prayer to pray right now. It goes, God grant, St. Faustina's prayer, excuse me. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasure of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will. If it's coronavirus, that's your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We have so much, the treasury of the prayers that we have in the church, and the list of saints goes on and on. We just have to avail ourselves of the, we're sitting on top of Fort Knox, Jesse, you know, so let's go out there. Let's be evangelists. Let's be out there. Be the leaders that we're called to be. Let's just not be, you know, screaming like the rest of everybody, you know, hey, you got to run out there and go get some toilet paper. Go run out, you know, just. Panic, the Hispanic panic, like we used to say at work. You know what? Be out there, be leaders. Be prayer warriors. Lift people up.
Yeah, bump up your prayer life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Spiritual communion every day. Psalm 91 every day. Rosary, Divine Mercy every day.
Every day.
Up next,
Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics. See you tomorrow. God bless.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.